Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Seeing the check engine light come on shouldn't freak you out. CarShield.com, 10% deductible, the warranty when yours runs out. Joy and I were talking about this earlier. Sports is better. Doesn't matter if it's soccer, baseball, football, NBA, college sports. It's better with emotion. It's better with emotion. And this offseason, or this postseason, we have seen a ton. Bat flips, players staring, Mookie Betts. It's been great. A lot of emotion. Baseball's lightening up. And some of the most thrilling players and most personality-filled players are in this World Series. And Alex Rodriguez is going to be on the pregame broadcast tonight for us. Obviously, 22 Major League Baseball seasons. World Series champion is now joining us live, Fox Sports baseball analyst. I don't know what changed, but about 3 years ago, we were all complaining that you couldn't have fun and stare at a home run. And now everybody's in on the party. What changed? Why is it okay now?
Well, it is exactly that. It's a party, and it's a good party, and it was a necessary move. I think when you look at the three major sports, we were the only ones left behind that weren't having fun. And I just think it's become younger, more exciting. Hitting's hard, and these pitchers are throwing mid-90s to 100. And what Bellinger did the other night, hitting close to a walk-off in the seventh inning with a game-winning home run, another game-winning on the previous series and another game seven. And I think guys are enjoying it. They're showing more personality, and it's great for baseball.
You know, Mookie Betts is a fascinating player. His instincts, his speed. You know all sports. I don't know what to compare him to, but he's such a catalyst for the team. Give me a little on Mookie Betts, because I didn't watch a lot of Red Sox stuff. I watch him now, and it's like, oh, he is the juice to this baseball team.
He really is. And Joel Sherman, the writer for the New York Post, called him the modern day Willie Mays. For Laker fans, I think he is what Magic Johnson brought to the very stoic Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? I mean, look at this smile. It is the Magic Johnson smile. It's a billion-dollar smile. But it's the athleticism. He's got Roberto Clemente defensive skills. He was a former second baseman coming up in the minor leagues. But he can hit for power. He can hit for contact. He's a game changer. And I believe that if Corey Seager wasn't the MVP, I called Mookie Betts the silver medal, because he would have won the MVP strictly with his glove.
Yeah. Then they have a player like Justin Turner. And he's scrappy, you know what I mean? And if you watch a lot of Dodger games, he is just a professional hitter. That's what he is. He is a tough out. How does he fit in all this? The value of Justin Turner for the Dodgers.
I grew up watching the New York Mets. The New York Mets changed when Keith Hernandez arrived, because he became the leader, the glue, the voice of reason. And I cannot think about this great Dodger run without having Justin Turner at the three spot and playing gold glove caliber defense. He is the glue. He is the guy that makes this thing go. He is almost like a player coach. And if the game was on the line, I believe that myself and Dodger Nation would want Justin Turner in the box. He is a black belt baseball player.
So Clayton Kershaw has had some postseason struggles. He goes in game one. And it's interesting. I always think in postseason baseball, you know, sometimes the writers and the analytic people miss on this. You got to let stars be stars. You have to show Clayton Kershaw you have confidence in him. I don't care if he gives up an infield single and a double. He gets another batter. I paid a lot of money for him. I have to live in the clubhouse with him on the road at home. So he goes into game one tonight. So how do you manage Clayton Kershaw, showing him support, Alex, but also knowing sixth inning, Tampa's got a lot of home run power. Do you manage him a little more cautiously?
Yeah, I think you need him to be good, not like great like he's been his entire career. And I think Clayton Kershaw is set up perfectly to bury his October demons. And the reason why is, you know, the Tampa Bay, they're top in pitching, they're top in fielding, they're pedestrian when it comes to hitting. And one huge advantage that Clayton Kershaw has is they don't have a lot of experience. They haven't seen him. I think tonight he's going to be great. I think he's going to pitch a gem. And I think he has an opportunity to have a big series and bring this 32-year drought to L.A. to match the Lakers with a championship in 2020.
You know, I was just looking at some numbers this morning on the percentage of Tampa runs that are home runs. Our baseball's changed a little bit analytically. Are teams too reliant on home runs, or like in the NBA, you got to hit threes? Like, that's just the new world. Where do you fall on the home run, the graded swing, the don't worry about strikeouts? Are these teams a little too reliant on the home run?
Yes, they are 100% if they want to win championships. You know, five out of the last six teams have been top five in contact, and there's a reason for that. It's because if you don't move the ball forward, you don't have an opportunity to score runs. In October, things are different. Anxiety rises. The heartbeat speeds up. There's a reason why a guy like Jose Altuve makes three throwing errors in two games. Is because you got to put the pressure on him and give him an opportunity to screw up and have hiccups. I like offenses in October, like your portfolio. You have a great financial portfolio, Colin. I like a mutual fund. You have some tech. You have some bonds. You have some, Berkshire Hathaway. And I think the way you win in October with offense is with a diversified approach, not a one-trick pony with just home runs. Because sometimes home runs go dry, just like in the NBA, threes go dry, and you can't win. I like to have Shaq and Kobe. I think both win. The same goes in baseball.
Yeah, Joey and I talk about this all the time. LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard have brought kind of the layup, the dunk, the mid-range back, and that's what's winning championships last couple of years. So when I look at the Dodgers, my takeaway is when the TV's on all summer, it is just 1-7, 1-8 professional hitters. It is a great hitting team. I worry about their bullpen. And then with Tampa, it's everybody throws 97. Like, it is, hey, guys, so it feels like to me this series is stacked roster, stacked pitching. Is it that simple?
Well, I tell you what, the A's have three number one pitchers, to your point, and they have a big-time game with Charlie Morton. He's a guy that knows how to get it done in October and has won the championship. I think for the Dodgers, you have to stop Arozarena, who's been the hottest hitter. He looked like Barry Bonds since October. He's a Cuban kid. He has seven home runs and is on fire. If you neutralize him, great. But let me give you one stat. If Tampa Bay scores five runs, they're going to win. They're basically 25-1 if they score five runs. So that's the number the Dodgers have to watch.
This is I think the Dodgers are a great closer away from being like an ideal team. There's a lot of different things they can do, but they don't have a great bullpen. And, you know, ask a Dodger fan, they go to the bullpen late, people get nervous. Do you manage differently? Do you manage more aggressively, knowing a one-run lead in the ninth is maybe not enough? Does Dave Roberts manage more aggressively in this series due to skepticism about the bullpen?
Yes. And I think Dave Roberts, he's in his fifth year with the Dodgers. He has done a terrific job this year managing this club. I love what he did in game seven, Colin. He managed with his gut, not with the spreadsheet. He let Urias out there go out and pitch three innings. He brought in Kike Hernandez to pinch hit, bam, home run off Minter. You have to do that. Let's put these spreadsheets away. Let's put the iPads away. Let's start managing with our eyes. I think Roberts has done a fantastic job. And if he keeps managing this way, more like Dusty Baker did and less like a hedge fund manager, I think the Dodgers will be world champions. But yes, everyone counts. And I think Kenley Jansen found something. And if he did, that's a huge advantage for the Dodgers bullpen.
Yeah, it's been such a fun postseason. I don't know when it happened because I grew up A-Rod. I grew up with Charlie Hustle, Mark Fidrich, Al Roboski, Mickey Rivers, all these crazy personalities. And then baseball got a little more rigid. And I will say this for Rob Manfred: I saw the messaging before the season this year, the commercials. Let the kids play. Let the kids play. I always felt if I was an athlete, that I liked a little swag. It almost gives me more. I want a confident athlete, and if that means I have to flip a bat. But were you bothered when guys got a little show. Reggie Jackson, I grew up with, he was showy. Did it? You weren't a showy player, but you had a personality. Did it bother you in your prime if guys showed personality?
No, I loved it. And look, how can I hate personality? I grew up watching the Hurricanes, and Hurricane football won 5 championships under Jimmy Johnson's tutelage. And no one had more fun. They probably say, some people say they had too much fun. But I think, Colin, here's where it comes down. There is a difference between hitting a home run like this and having fun versus, looking at someone, grabbing your crotch, and showing somebody up. You can enjoy the game. You can celebrate your home run. You can even take a selfie looking at your dugout. But you're not sitting there trying to embarrass a pitcher. You're enthused, and you're celebrating the game. I think there's a big difference. And the way they're doing it today, I love it. It's not personal. They're looking in their dugout. They're trying to get fired up. And I tell you one other thing, Colin, this has been so much fun. You talk about March Madness. This is October Madness. And I love the 7-game spread. If you play 7 days in a row, you just can't get enough of it. It becomes a little bit like summer ball where, the last team standing wins. And you have to manage differently when you're playing 7 in a row versus playing 7 games in 10 or 11 days.
Great stuff. Alex Rodriguez, Fox Sports Baseball Analyst, FS1 at 7 Eastern. The pregame starts. Move over to Fox. Love having you. Can't wait. Great World Series. Big arms, big bats. It'll be great Dodgers race. Thanks, Alex.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
Yeah, this is going to be really good stuff. Boy, I'll tell you, we were talking about Best for Last today. It is a weird time. Boston had this a few years ago. L.A. is just loaded. Not just good teams. I mean, Mike Trout in Los Angeles, in terms of star power, is like 9th. And he may be as good as anybody playing baseball today. It's Mookie Betts is in town. Dodger fans, really, he is juice for that franchise. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Things are kind of starting to unravel for Dallas.
Oh, boy.
Well, after dropping to 2-4 in the season, some Cowboys players are leaking their frustrations with the coaching staff through the media. According to Jane Slater, Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now they sit at 2-4. The discontent is leaking out on the coaching staff. Quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another said they just aren't good at their jobs.
That's painful.
This morning, Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan and defended his new head coach.
The good thing is that I know what he's experienced. You know, he won a Super Bowl going up through the wild card side. So you know how to adjust, overcome things when you have that kind of accomplishment on your record. What we don't have to worry about is he capable of coaching a team to the ultimate.
Yeah.
Well, his staff also includes Mike Nolan, who joined him in Dallas after 3 years as the linebackers coach with the Saints, and he's been under fire because Dallas's 26th ranked defense in term of yards allowed per game.
I'm surprised it's 26th, honestly.
And it's a league worst in points allowed. So far this season, they have allowed 218 points. That's total is tied for 4th most points allowed by a defense through 6 games in NFL history. So defensive side of the ball is struggling mightily, as we know. But now the offensive side of the ball is struggling. Now, obviously, no one can do anything about losing Dak Prescott, and that's awful. But Ezekiel Elliott, 2 fumbles in 3 plays. He's got 5 fumbles on the season.
By the way, we have a trading deadline come up. Where does Dallas have a ton of players? Wide receiver. You cannot tell me Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson. Now, you're going to keep Amari because the money, and CeeDee Lamb. I think it's Dallas's time to go, listen, we have 4 wide receivers. We need a starting right tackle. We need a starting, like, now is the time for Dallas. If you're a serious football team, go to where you have a surplus. Like, if I'm Dallas, there's got to be a good football. Okay, I don't know if New England would do it. But go around to these good teams. Anybody need a Michael Gallup? He's a terrific player. Like, I think it's time to peel back on wide receivers and go get some help in the back end of that defense.
I also think that the problems are a little bit cultural.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Dave Wannstedt was talking about it earlier, and we've talked about this for years. If you know the buck doesn't stop with the head coach, you don't have a healthy fear. In any business, if you know your boss isn't really your boss, that you can go directly to their boss and air your grievances, and you kind of, in a weird way, have as much leverage as they do as your boss, because you're as important, if not more important, to the organization being a player. It's just a dysfunctional setup. Yeah. And look, we all love Jerry Jones. He's an incredible businessman and a face of this league. But it's not a good setup for success. And you can't argue with the results that you have not been successful.
Listen, if you take out Dak's rookie year, which is a little bit of a mirage, more than a little, they're a 500 football team with 40% of their wins against the Washington football team and the Giants. That's what they are.
I really thought Mike McCarthy would be able to come in and have that kind of authority, which is the word that Juan Stett used. But I mean, listen, if you're Jimmy Johnson, do you feel comfortable talking to the media like this? You feel comfortable leaking this to Jane if Jimmy Johnson is your head coach?
No. Or Bill Parcells.
Right. Or Bill Belichick. Like, you could get cut. Like, real life, you could no longer have a job. Yeah. There's no fear of that here in this situation. It's really losing makes things that are kind of bad worse. And winning makes things that are kind of bad a little bit better, right? Like, you can kind of ignore it. If they won that game, maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. But this is just starting to unravel for Dallas. They have Washington next week, so.
Well, that's not a good matchup, because Washington's defensive front is good. That's not a good matchup.
Yes, they are good defensively. That could go either way. It's a division game. And then they're at the Eagles, and then they have the Steelers. So These next 3 weeks could really change things for that season moving forward. So Baker Mayfield's was benched or was sat because of injury, however you want to look at it, for Case Keenum. He was 10 of 19 for 119 yards, touchdown and two interceptions, 54.9 passer rating, and was getting sacked and chased all over the place by that Steelers defense. They're currently 4-2, so Baker's poor play is kind of en masse. This season, he has 1,095 yards, 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
He's
60.6 completion percentage.
Remember, when he came out, everybody loved his accuracy. And the further he's gotten away from Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, I don't think he's that accurate. I really don't. And I thought that was his go-to thing was, this is a guy, set him up, let him throw. He is, there's no excuse with this offensive line. This is an above-average O-line.
And his weapons.
And his tight ends, and his backs, like, he makes too many mistakes. There's no getting around it.
If you look at his numbers year to year, his passing stats on passing over 10-plus yards, they have gone down year to year significantly.
Yes.
So it's a trend, and I don't know how that's changing. The next 3 games, they're at the Bengals and the Raiders. They have a bye week, and then the Texans. They're 4-2, but they're in the AFC North, so the Steelers are 5-0. They play the Titans next week. Then there's obviously the Ravens at 5-1. So the way things are trending, I don't think that they're looking like a playoff team with Baker in that situation. I mean, if they move forward with Case Keenum, maybe that's different, but then what happens at the end of the season?
Like, well, they did beat
you completely bail on Baker?
I think they're going to win a bunch of games going forward, so I think they're a 9-7 team. I still think they get in. They did beat the Colts, another team that'll be kind of in their 9-7 space. So that Colt win is actually huge for them, because I think one of the teams that's going to be in their sights is going to be like a Miami or a Colts team, and if you've got the W head-to-head, it helps.
I don't want to overreact,
but
right? I did think that Colts win was a legit win.
Yeah.
My concern is more with Baker. Him being injured, that's rough, because you're injured. I mean, the bye week is coming 2 weeks from now, and you have to play the Raiders. The Bengals game is kind of a nice reprieve for them, but I have concerns. Finally, you're speaking of who could use one of the Cowboys wide receivers. Antonio Brown, who's someone we haven't mentioned in a while, will be eligible to practice and play in only 2 weeks. He was issued an 8-game suspension for off-the-field issues. And if he is unsigned 2 weeks from now, he can sign a contract and immediately join a team. According to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, he will be officially allowed to play and practice with teams 2 weeks from now, meaning he will be back on the field, or he can be back on the field, not will be, can be back on the field as soon as week 9. The Saints brought him in for a visit last season, and then the Seahawks have been rumored.
This game
possibly signing him
is big business. Okay, you're going to start getting to a point where somebody's going to have a receiver hurt, jobs are on the line, you've got to win games, somebody's going to give him a shot. There's just too much money at stake. There's too much tension in this league. If somebody's going to lose a receiver, and they're a really good team, and they're going to be like, you know, 7-2, and you're like, okay, somebody in our division is good, and it's, you know, you look at a team like what if Baltimore, and all of a sudden Cleveland wins four straight, and Pittsburgh wins, and you're Baltimore, and you know, you get to a point in this league where we need a star playmaker.
It's production, and then the tolerance is based off of how much you produce, and that's what happened with him at the Steelers.
He was the best receiver in the league when he left.
It's not a matter of if he is capable. I don't think anyone ever questioned if he was capable, but the mental side of sports is as important as the physical, if not more. And if he's not going to be able to keep it together, even if it's that situation, like, you can't bring him in to derail a team either.
No.
But I do agree with you. I think in 3 weeks he's going to be signed somewhere if he's eligible to go.
I agree. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Right now, it is hard to get your arms around how hot LA sports is and how many stars there are in this city. And we rank them in terms of performance, 1 through 10. There'll be arguments here in Los Angeles right now. Some won't even make the list, and they're all stars. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Not ready to give up? Want to feel more energized? Only supplement every day for driven men. Visit mdriveformen.com today. World Series starts tonight on Fox. The Dodgers are facing the Tampa Bay Rays. The Lakers just won the NBA championship. From our soccer teams to our baseball teams to our NBA teams too, to our NFL teams, the Rams are a very well-run organization. Both have star young quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert. There is an unbelievable amount of star power in Los Angeles. And I thought today, just to give you an example of the quality of stars, I don't think a city's ever had this many great players, often 24, 25 years old. So we'll give you 10-1, the 10 best stars in Los Angeles. The quality of their play, where are they at in their career, their history. Let's go 10 through 1.
So number 10.
Clayton Kershaw. Now he's 32. He's a three-time Cy Young winner. The lowest ERA by any pitcher in the live ball era. Now, he's not as dominant in the postseason, but not as bad as people would have you believe. A former MVP will start tonight, game one. Been around seemingly forever, 13 years with the Dodgers. He would have been much higher on this list 4 years ago, but he's number 10.
Number 9.
Jalen Ramsey of the Rams, highest paid cornerback, defensive back in NFL history. Many consider him the first, second, third best cornerback. He is easily the best defensive player, healthy defensive player right now in the city of Los Angeles for two teams in the back end. He is a remarkable talent. He was the number one high school corner. He was the number one college corner coming out. And he is a playmaking physical corner in the NFL.
Number 8.
25-year-old Cody Bellinger, just a kid right for the Dodgers. He has already been an MVP, a rookie of the year. He is in the history of the Dodgers. He's the youngest player to hit 40 jacks in a season. He may have the most beautiful home run swing in baseball. 4 seasons with the Dodgers. An epic performer, Cody Bellinger.
Number 7.
Joey Bosa, 25-year-old for the Chargers. Highest paid defensive player in league history. Defensive rookie of the year. A 2-time Pro Bowler from an unbelievable football family. Dad, sons. He is a game changer. He is what everybody in the NFL wants. A young pass rusher. Chargers signed him early. And the Chargers historically don't sign a lot of guys early. They got that guy contract fast.
Number 6.
You'll think it's low, but Mookie Betts. Now he's 28 years old. First year with the Dodgers. A World Series champ with the Red Sox. First player in baseball history to win an MVP, a Silver Slugger, a Golden Glove, a batting title, and a World Series in the same season. Second highest paid player, and he is the juice for this team. He is the athlete, the juice, the energy, and unbelievable fielding talent, and great at the plate.
Number 5.
But Kawhi Leonard is a 2-time champ, and a 2-time Finals MVP, and a 2-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and one of 2 players ever to win a Finals MVP, an All-Star Game MVP, and a Defensive Player of the Year. The other is Michael Jordan.
Number 4.
It's close. I'll go Anthony Davis, who has now emerged as the best player LeBron's ever had, a seven-time All-Star, most points scored in this entire bubble postseason, more than LeBron, 25 and 10. He is also, I think, as good a defensive player and as active a defensive player as the NBA has had. I mean, there's some Bill Russell here. This kid can defend the perimeter. He can defend the post. He blocks the ball with a purpose. Anthony Davis.
Number three.
Mike Trout, largely considered the best baseball player in the last 10 years in the sport. A decade with the Angels, an eight-time All-Star, a three-time MVP, highest paid player in baseball history, never finished lower than fourth in the American League MVP voting. Small strike zone, hard to strike out, has power, elite fielder, run the bases. Again, last decade, best pure baseball talent on the planet.
Number two.
But Aaron Donald, once again, leads the NFL in sacks from an interior defensive line position that is virtually impossible. 7 years with the Rams, a Pro Bowler every year, a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. Here's all you need to know. There's only two ways to play the Rams. Double-team Aaron Donald or lose. Aaron Donald, there is the greatest gap in American sports is between Aaron Donald and the second best player in the league at his position. There are guys that can do some of the stuff Mike Trout can do. Nobody in the NFL since Reggie White is close to Aaron Donald from an interior defensive line. There is no second best interior defensive lineman. Aaron Donald, number two.
Number one.
And the greatest basketball player many believe all time, LeBron James. He is the catalyst for the Heat titles, the Cav titles, the Laker titles, the awards, four NBA championships, three different teams, four finals MVPs, 16-time All-Star, third leading scorer in NBA history, and has 3 or 4 or 5 years left. Now think about this. Paul George didn't make the list. Jared Goff. I mean, Derwin James. Mike Williams of the Chargers. Robert Woods. I mean, these would be like second, third best athlete. Look at the quality of athletes. Isn't that crazy? And there's that Rendon for the Angels I didn't put in. Right, that is
crazy.
Now, some will argue Kawhi Leonard over Anthony Davis. I went...
Yeah, I would. Based off of, if we're basing it off skill and not...
I just thought Anthony Davis was so dominant in the postseason.
He was, but he had a couple games, and Kawhi's a two-time champ. And
let me look at that one more time. Can give me that little camera? I want to... Yeah, that's different. It was not a great postseason for Kawhi.
It wasn't, but he is a two-time champ and led the Toronto Raptors to their first
championship. So you'd flip Kawhi and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, we're going off skill, yes. I still think Kawhi is
I know,
is
it sounds
certainly has a better career.
Sounds ridiculous to put Mookie Betts at six, and then you're like, well, Mike Trout's only three.
I mean, it's wild.
Well, and Mike Trout also has not had postseason success, where Aaron Donald got to a Super Bowl. LeBron James, obviously.
Aaron Donald is so good.
There's nothing like it.
That's why he's trending today, because everyone's upset that that Tua's first game is going to be going up against the LA Rams and Aaron Donald.
There's only three defensive players, two or three I can ever compare to him. Reggie White was insane. Lawrence Taylor's insane. Aaron Donald. You have to double team him. There is no other way. And what's funny is certain teams like Washington, you have to get contact on Aaron very quick. If you give him a running start, it's all over. He'll just grab you and throw you like trash. Just throw you out of the way. Like 325-pound guys. He is so unbelievably dominant. And we're lucky. Good guys, too. Weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, available only at Walmart, last 2 times longer than other blades. Quite a show today. Peter King, Doug Gottlieb, Alex Rodriguez. World Series starts tonight on Fox. So it's a lucky time. It's a lucky time everywhere, but a lucky time to be in LA. You don't get these don't last very long.
And Uncle Dave.
Dave Wonstadt. We called him late. He was in his agent's office. He said, put me on. And we did. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Nick Wright, I already know that, will be here. Speak for Yourself is around the corner, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd.